like Chris Perkins, who is joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, columnist for the Sun Sentinel. He's covered the Dolphins for many years. You know, I heard Perk on with you guys, Crowder, last week, and I texted him.
Yeah.
And I said, I didn't know that you could come on with us. I thought he had a deal with Big O. And he's like, no, I always thought it was very interesting that I only got invited on the show when you weren't there. And I said, yeah, shadow ban you. Marlins are going to shadow ban Matt Mervis. I'm going to shadow ban Perk.
Don't shadow ban Perk. I like Perk.
I'm ending the shadow ban. Hopefully the Marlins will call up Matt Mervis and the shadow ban. So Chris Perkins joining us now. Hello, Perk.
Hey, I got a lot of pressure on me now, don't I?
You're the man, deliver. Perk.
I don't want to go back to where I just came out of, so let's do it. I'm going to try to be good.
Pressure is a privilege. That's the saying.
Right. That's right. Pressure is a privilege.
That's it.
So let's start with Zach Sealer. That's the big Dolphins news, I guess. He gets the 3-year extension worth over $67 million, $44 million guaranteed. I know you're a fan of his just reading your work, so I'm imagining that you're happy they rewarded him this way.
Yeah, I'm happy for a few reasons. Number one, Zach Sealer is a good guy who does things the right way, and it's nice to see him get rewarded. Number two, he's a guy that for the Dolphins, if you're trying to set a new culture, this is one of the guys you want to be at the forefront of that, right? And then number three, I mean, the dude can play, right? He's the only interior defensive lineman in the league right now who is coming off of back-to-back 10-sack seasons. So for a lot of reasons, I'm very happy to see Sealer get this money. And look, and to the other guys who are coming around with money up, Devon Achan, Jalen Phillips, I'm sure it's nice to see one of their guys get rewarded because you've seen so much Christian Wilkins and Rob Hunt and Javon Holland. It's good to see one of your guys get rewarded. So a lot of reasons I'm very happy to see this.
And Perk, he's $22 million a year now. He's three downs now. He got to go. They're gonna get the butt out of the duck, aren't they?
Oh yeah. And look, and that's what Sealer said. You know, Sealer said because he said I'm gonna live up to this contract. You know, I'm gonna exceed this contract, and so I think that he will because look, you know, the Dolphins had the number 9 rush defense last year, and Sealer was a big part of that. So not only does he get to the quarterback, he stops that run. Sealer's going to continue. He's not the type who's going to slack off.
Who have you seen during camp this year where you say, that surprises me on the upside? Like, wow, he looks really good. And conversely, who have you seen where you say to yourself, surprising me on the downside here. I expected more out of him.
Man, on the upside, Storm Duck is one of the easy ones. I mean, this dude has really impressed. And we saw Storm last year, but, you know, he was the undrafted rookie out of Louisville. There weren't a whole lot of expectations for him. That job was open. Two jobs were open this year because of, you know, Jalen Ramsey and Kendall Fuller both being gone. Storm Duck has stepped up, even with expectations early in camp that the job is open. He secured that job early in camp, and he's lived up to it. At running back, Alexander Mattison, a guy that a lot of people, including myself, thought was a short yardage specialist. Look, we see this man using his quick feet to get into holes. We see this man running off, breaking off 8, 10, 12-yard runs. He's been good. The list of guys that have been good in this camp is actually fairly long. You take last year's top two picks, Chop Robinson and Patrick Paul. You take this year's first two picks, Kenneth Grant and Jonas Savainaya. All four of those guys have been good. You know Tua's been good. You know Waddle has been good. On the downside, man, I hate to take the low-hanging fruit of Cam Smith, but he's there. We haven't seen Darren Waller out there at all. I don't know what's going on there. And probably, I mean, I got to mention Willie Gay, right, as somebody who is on the upside also. Downside, you know, aside from Cam and Darren Waller, nobody else really comes to mind based on expectations off the top of my head. There is a lot of good going on in this camp. I'll say this now. I still have the Dolphins as a 9-win team. You can take that as negative or positive, but I do think that the positive is outweighing the negative at this point of camp.
And Perk, people ask me about the linebackers, man. Willie Gay, you're the third person brought him up. Dotson, Brooks. I saw Brooks from last year. He's a banger.
Yep.
Can the linebackers play? Because you're talking about changing a identity of a team. I think the linebackers have a big aspect in that. When you know, dudes, if you come across that middle, you might get your helmet knocked off.
Oh yeah, and look, Channing, I have been saying I'm excited about this front seven. And early in camp, I had said these inside backers might be the best and deepest unit on the team. And I know that's not sexy because they're inside linebackers, but you have Jordan Brooks, who led the team in tackles last year with, I believe, 143. Terrell Dotson, who led the team in interceptions with 3. And behind them, Willie Gay, who has been one of the best playmakers in camp, and also K.J. Britt. I mean, they're loaded at that position. And I'll say this also, that I do think that this team, when you talk about those inside backers, this team is getting a little bit more physical. I wrote yesterday that it looks like they're getting the starting offensive line right. I know A.J. Austin Jackson is out, but it looks like they're getting the starting offensive line right. The depth is not there at all. I have no faith in the depth. But those starting five, I have faith in them. And I wrote for today that, look, it looks like some physicality is coming to both sides of the line of scrimmage, the trenches, because you look at the top four picks of the last couple of years, Chop and Patrick Paul and Grant and Sabai Naya, you look at them locking up Sealer, you look at them getting James Daniels, they're getting more physical in practice. We'll see how that translates to Chicago and Detroit in joint practices, but again, I do see good things, more positive than negative, coming out of this camp and coming out of this team so far.
Yeah, you mentioned the joint practices. I'd ask Crowder at the beginning of the show today, if you're a team trying to change the narrative that you're soft, or, you know, one of the code words that Crowder uses, like what, that they're athletic,
gentle,
you know, it's like,
yeah,
agile. If you're trying to change that narrative, might you try to make a statement Friday in a joint practice with Chicago? Like maybe just play with, I don't want to say the intent to be violent, but maybe you make a statement at a joint practice to kind of put the league on notice.
Hawk, violence, the word violent needs to be put back in football because it's violent sport. I hate it.
Get
violence, wants to say violent.
What do you
anymore?
Think, Burke?
Yeah, no, I agree with Crowder. It is a violent game, and the Dolphins try to out-cute people and out-think people and out-run people. The Dolphins were bringing a 7-on-7 mentality to tackle football. So, yeah, Chicago is a team that tried to revamp that offensive line, right, so they could protect the quarterback. So you need to get after them. The other thing is, when you go to Detroit, you know Dan Campbell is going to bring it, right? That he's constructed one of the most physical teams in the league. You better not go up there and get punched in the mouth for 2 or 3 straight days. So, yeah, whether you're trying to make a statement or not, you better bring it. You better do something in those two joint practice sessions.
Hey, Perk, when I was coaching high school football, I got called into the principal's office because I told my players to be violent. And they told me we're not allowed to use that word anymore. Say physical or, you know, just use different words because violent is a nasty word nowadays. But speaking of those joint practices, Perk, should we protect anybody? It's starting with Tua because Hawk and me have been arguing all show about it. I don't think Tua needs to take a snap if anybody can touch him. Do we need to protect anybody in those joint practices? Because sometimes it's not worth it.
No, I'm not protecting anybody. That includes Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb, nobody. You're trying to set a mentality here. You're trying to get a mindset for this team, and you've got to be smart 100%. So maybe they don't go as many reps as they normally would, but I want all my guys out there, and I want the younger guys and everybody else on the team seeing Zach Sealer, you're gonna get out there and get after somebody. Chubb, Jalen Phillips, James Daniels. You know, you're not allowed to hit the quarterback, so, you know, hopefully there's no, you know, nobody on the Bears is trying to make a statement and be a tough guy and hit Tua. But, you know, look, and we're going to see what the backup right tackles can do, right, without Austin Jackson. I'll tell you something else. When you're trying to be a physical team, we saw last year the run game took a nosedive when Austin Jackson and Alec Ingold were out. Guess what? You're going up to Chicago without either of them. Still be physical. Still set a tone. No excuses. Go up there and knock somebody's head in the dirt.
Any idea if any of the starters, like significant starters, will get snaps on Sunday in Chicago? Tua, Tyreek, Jalen Waddle?
I doubt it. I doubt it. I think that, you know, from the game standpoint, the joint practice thing, yeah, go at it. But I think from the game standpoint, the way it is now, you guys know the starters get to work in joint practices, and in the preseason game, that's usually going to be your backups and your third teamers and the guys who need to make the roster. So I'm not expecting any of those guys to get any kind of meaningful playing time on Sunday. And maybe, you know, during preseason, maybe they get a couple of series, but that's probably going to be about it.
And Perk, should I be watching the corners a little more than everybody else? That would be my thing is right now, like you're saying, Kader Kohu's out. We know, you know, Artie Burns gets hurt. They brought in some young guys. Was that an emphasis on your watching as well in this first game?
100%. We got to see what these cornerbacks are about. You got to see if you need to go out and start, you know, start looking for some help, Rasul Douglas, Stephon Gilmore, or can you wait until the cuts are made at the end of camp? But, yeah, you got to see, you know, what have you got? You kind of know what you got in Storm Duck, but what have you got in Jack Jones, Mike Hilton, Kendall Sheffield, Cam Smith, Ethan Bonner? You got to see if these guys can contribute on special teams and from scrimmage. So, yeah, these cornerbacks, I'm eyeing them with suspicion right now. They need to come through. They need to show me something. I understand that you're going up against Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle in practice, and you got Tua throwing the ball, but you're going to go up against guys of that caliber in the regular season, so it's good that you're getting used to it. And I'll say this. You see some of these corners making some progress. The coverage has been improving, but you don't see them making plays. You don't necessarily see them batting down passes, making interceptions. So I want to see them be able to cover but also be able to make that next step of playmaking. I'm going to be looking at these corners for a lot of different things this week and on Sunday.
And Perk, tell Hawk, because he always makes fun of me, tell him I was white on rice in coverage. There was nobody open if I was in front of him.
Oh, no, like stink on a monkey, right? That was it.
Perk, I was watching the games, too. I wasn't blind back then.
No, I'm going to take that for Chandler. Yeah, go watch the All-22. I'm going to take that for my man Crowder. That's right. Yeah.
Still has Frank Gore's imprint on his chest from a UM game in the 90s.
Why y'all bringing up old stuff? Come on now.
Perk, how fair is it to just bring up Frank Gore and Antonio Gates and these? Bro, they're Hall of Famers, man.
Who are your sacks on? Who are your sacks on? Because you're right. Man. We gotta bring down the.
Who was the big? JP Lossman.
JP Lossman, that was it. JP Lossman.
What was the big light skinned boy in Tampa? Freeman?
Josh Freeman.
Josh Freeman, yeah.
I'm bringing him down. That's it. Bringing him down.
There you go, Perk.
The dude intercepted Tom Brady. You don't need anything else on the resume. Tom Brady to clinch a win. That's all you need on your resume.
That's it. The GOAT, man. You outplayed the GOAT. I like it. That's it.
Yes, sir.
Interesting what you said, though, at the beginning here about Darren Waller. I hadn't realized that he hasn't been seen. We have an Odell situation on our hands here, Perk.
Ooh, man. This could be anywhere from, you know, well, Shaq Barrett never, at least Waller has reported. But, yeah, this could be Shaq Barrett, Odell. It's treading into some very dangerous territories here. And look, Waller seems like a really likable guy. I'll tell you this. Frank Smith, the offensive coordinator, was asked about him today, and you know they go back to the Raiders days. Frank Smith got choked up. Frank Smith got emotional talking about Darren Waller. You could kind of hear his voice cracking a little bit, and it was, you know, we were all just kind of looking at each other like, wow. So hopefully Waller doesn't disappoint Frank Smith, doesn't disappoint himself. But yeah, that was an interesting moment that we had today. Hopefully Waller gets out there because they need a receiving tight end. They need a receiving tight end badly.
Are they saying why he's not out there? Is it just conditioning?
They just said he's not in football shape. That's all that they're willing to say, whatever that means. And you
right.
Look, the guy is in good physical shape, and I know football shape is different, but if you're not out there hitting somebody, how are you going to get in football shape?
Right. Yeah, that's interesting.
But Perk, is it a – I don't know. Like you said, he got choked up. Is it a mental thing or is it physical? Because we know he had his past. We know he retired and divorce and, you know, mental health and all that stuff. Yep. Is any of that come up?
We don't know. We have not asked about that. You know, it's kind of a topic that, you know, the way Mike McDaniel said it, you could, and McDaniel does not expound on things like this very often. He's very player friendly from the standpoint of, I'm not putting your business out there in the street. And when the way McDaniel said he's not in football shape, you could tell he's not going to expound on it. That's all you're going to get. So we haven't really revisited that, but it's going to be time to revisit it. If he's not out there for joint practices, it's going to be time to revisit that topic and kind of drill down a little bit more.
Man, interesting. Chris Perkins, read his work in the Sun Sentinel. Follow Perk on Twitter and make sure you subscribe to the Sun Sentinel or the Sun Sentinel app so that they are rewarded for all the hard work that they put in. Thank you, Perk.
All right, Hawk. I hope to be back, man.
I think you earned another spot. We going week to week on him, Crowder, or we give him the nod for the whole season?
Fuck, you shadow banned him. I ain't shadow banned him.
All right, I'll talk to y'all in November.
I mean, we had Perk on the air. Now your move, Marlins. Time to bring up Matt Mervis. Your move. See you, Perk. We appreciate
all right, guys.
It.